Is it not true that many times there are some relationships that we have that prepare us for another relationship? It's just a training ground for another relationship based upon the experience that we learned from that relationship. Even in the pain, it created a space and an opening for some joy that we could not have embraced otherwise.
Yes, absolutely. Still, I want to say here that what happens is, after a failed relationship, whether it be a divorce or your girlfriend leaves you or your boyfriend or whatever it is, we don't take time to allow the healing. Instead, we go directly into another relationship. You know, I had a friend the other day. She was talking about how she had dated this man and they were supposed to get married. She had dated him for about 4 years. Got to know him. Everything is wonderful. Come altar time, they call it off. They broke up, and 6 months later, he married a woman that he had just met.
Mm.
And I find that
I've seen that.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
I think, well, this is my personal take on it.
Okay. Yeah.
I think that generally what I've seen about men is that they marry who they're with at the time. When a man decides, okay, I'm going to get married, I'm going to take the plunge, he does it with who he's with at the time. I've seen it happen over and over again. And his girlfriends or mothers or sisters are looking around saying, well, what happened here?
Yeah, but women don't do that.
Women, I think, fall in love with the romance of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ideal, because, you know, we have the magazines with the bridesmaids and the gowns, and we fall in love with the ideal of what marriage is rather than the reality of relationship. And I heard a man say one time that marriage is a very fleshy thing. You know, it's a very fleshy thing, meaning that when you're behind closed doors, it's a whole nother story.
Yes, but you know, I've seen a situation where a couple had been together for 15 years, mm-hmm. living together, mm-hmm. they weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
They married, and 4 months later, they got divorced.
Now, I don't have a clue about how or why that happens, but I can tell you
I can tell you what I think was a telltale sign in that one.
Please tell me.
The wife said when they went on vacation,
mm-hmm.
he said, I finally got you. That the paradigm shift from being partners to mm-hmm. being married, woman, obey your husband,
mm-hmm.
that they were partners when they were single.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you've got to obey me.
Yeah, I rule
right.
you. We're no longer partners. Yeah. No, I'm the head of this house up
mm-hmm.
in here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not that kind of woman. And she
mm-hmm.
was looking for partnership to continue,
right.
not ownership.
Right. You know, because the truth of the matter is that even submission is a two-way street.
Yes.
You've got to submit to that woman just as she submits to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go into it with this slave mentality, like, obey me, this caveman thing, that's not going to work.
Mm.
And so when you switch gears, it has to dissolve because your values then are so disparate that you can't come back together.
Mm. Let's go back to the book. The second chapter deals with the player's game. Let's give an analysis of that. Tell us about the player's game.
The player's game. Players will do things to rope you in. Again, remember I said that they are able to somehow hone in on what your language is. For example, if your language is, you need to be stroked. Oh, baby, you are just the finest thing. Oh, you're the smartest man. And I don't know too many people that don't want to hear, you're the best person I've ever met, or you're the most beautiful or the most handsome. Well, players know how to work that thing to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And the player's game is, they may even give the appearance that they're giving to you for your good, but it's all designed for their good.
Mm. When you look at the kind of impact and gut-wrenching experience that one goes through when they're seduced and they fall in love with someone who is, in fact, counterfeit, who's not sincere. And many times I've seen situations where men did it for financial reasons, that mm-hmm. many men get with women, and these women are great providers. There are more women now providing for men, and then there are men providing for women. And in fact, mm-hmm. I've always believed that, and my mother raised us, that, you know, she told my sister, if you got a man and a job too, one of them's got to go. Because the man is to, yes. to provide mm-hmm. and to protect. Mm-hmm. So, but you're saying that many women make selections out of desperation of not wanting to be alone. And that conditioning and that mindset and the willingness to be open to that comes out of the expectations of the family members and friends saying, when are you getting married? You're getting older.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And causing
so there's
decisions.
A pressure.
Okay. So they're pressured into making those kinds mm-hmm. of decisions.
That's a part of it too. Mm-hmm. But also it's a part of, again, I keep going back to that part of you that seeks someone to heal you, someone to take away the pain, someone to be with, someone to soothe you. You know, they say misery loves company. Mm-hmm. So until you have dealt with your own personal misery that's there, you're going to keep perpetuating the same kinds of failed relationships. You ever seen people that have been married 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think that we try to get it right. I'm one of those people. I'm just going to keep on until I get it right.
Yeah, and I believe that one day you will get it right. But mm-hmm. for you and anyone else, it doesn't get right until you really go inside and decide to be authentic about your pain.
Mm-hmm.
Or about your shame.
Okay, explain that to me. What do you mean by that?
For example, there may be some residue of things that happened to you in the past that you haven't quite gotten over.
You know something, Phyllis? I'm going to hold that point right there. Because I think that, in fact, I know that when I look back on my relationships, even the fact that I'm adopted played a major role unconsciously.
Yes.
In my relationships, because they call it unfinished business.
Yes.
Because unconsciously, and I found this out through therapy, and I believe in asking for help, not because mm-hmm. you're weak, but because you want to remain strong, that the conversation that I had in my head was, because what we do and what we act out in life is a result of what we believe subconsciously, and the story that we play back in our head, our self-explanatory style, as psychologists call it, that if the woman who had me mm-hmm. did not want me,
yes,
it's just a matter of time before you won't want me.
Yes.
And if you don't leave me because I don't feel worthy of this love, I'm going to act out in such a way that you will have to get rid of me.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about is the pain of shame.
Yeah.
There is something that happens to us from little children
yes.
that we can hang on to those things. And most of us don't even know what it is.
Okay, but then how do you get under there? How do you face that? How do you get to it so that it does not continue to govern your life where you're living your past, which is now sabotaging your future and your present relationships?
I think a part of that has to come by making a decision that you want to be healed and you want to be authentic. Because until you do that, you're not going to get the love you want.
But what if you don't know and you think you know?
Then you need to get some help like you did.
You better go find somebody
to get some help.
Okay. Let me ask you. If you had to identify 5 toxic negative elements that says, if these things are in play, it's time to go. Because deciding to go is a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
What would those things be? Number one.
The person doesn't cherish you. Or value you as a person.
Okay. Number 2.
The person is so selfish that they're unable to love you.
And you know it.
And you know it.
Yeah, you
cover it over. You think it's going to get better,
and it's
but
not.
It's not so because that person is in pain.
You're dying together rather than living together.
Absolutely.
It's the unspoken conversation. Okay.
Absolutely.
Staying up late looking at the television hoping to hear the snow before you go to bed. Okay.
Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to be loved.
Okay. The person no longer cherishes you and you know it. Mm-hmm. They no longer have the capacity to love you and you feel it, as B.B. King said, the thrill is gone. What would be the third thing that you say, if this is present, it's time to go?
The person always finds a way to belittle and take pot shots at you. Always finds a way to diminish you. It can be very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Very subtle. And even things like that start in our childhood.
You know,
and we keep residue.
I have a friend Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that her husband demeans her, in my opinion, mm-hmm. he doesn't call her name.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't call her name.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come in here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what are you doing up there?
Mm-hmm.
Bring me the newspaper down when you come. I said, mm-hmm. excuse me, you got to be kidding me. He doesn't call her name. Been together over 22 years. And because mm-hmm. they both worked for a corporation and she went higher than he did and started earning more money than he did, he became angry and passive, aggressively began to demean her by not calling her name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be subtle erosion of the relationship.
Okay.
The fourth thing I think is the spirit of competition.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a competition. We're together because our gifts and talents complement each other.
Yes.
But what happens is people start to do this kind of one-upsman.
Mm-hmm.
I can do better than this, or you know, I'm better than you, or you think you're all that because you have a degree and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
We start to compete. And again, it goes back to demeaning the person and not valuing that person.
And not appreciating who they are.
And the fifth thing I would say, Les, is that the values that you hold near and dear are just not congruent.
You're two different people.
You're two different people.
And no matter what you do.
No matter what you do.
This is not going to come together because you see the world differently. Your mm-hmm. values are differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, unfortunately, you've grown in two different directions.
Mm-hmm. I saw something very beautiful the other day. I had gone to one of the stores, TJ Maxx or Marshall's, one of those, and
uh-huh.
just shopping around. And I walked in and there was this elderly couple there. You know, they were, you know, maybe early 70s, retired. And the woman was just gorgeous, beautiful white hair. And her husband came over and said, "Well, sweetheart, do you want me to wait for you?" And she said, "No, honey, I'm okay. I'm just going to be in here just a few minutes." He said, "Well, okay, I'm going to go out and get some fresh air. You take your time. I'll be right outside waiting for you." And I turned to the woman and introduced myself. And I said, "Thank you for just redeeming my faith that relationships can work." She said, "Oh, yes, honey, I'm married to my best friend. Mm. And we've been married for 56 years.
Wow.
And they were like kids. They were still in love, Les.
Yes.
And I said, "Oh, wow, thank you. Miss Pat, pray for me right now. I want that."
Yes, I said, "Lay hands on me.
Lay hands on me."
Yes.
Because I want to get this right.
Yes, yes, we all do. Let's look at when love is real. How do we know when it's real? That we're not being played. We're not being seduced. We're not being deceived. We're not having the wool pull over our eyes. When do we know I can relax now? I can feel safe that this is the real thing.
In my book, I have wisdom gems.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the wisdom gems says that the person who's for you will always celebrate who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That person will always celebrate who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They will speak highly of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're protected. You know that she has your back. You know that come hella high water, she's going to be there with you. And it's just a knowing. They're signposts along the way. You have to look at character and not be so bowled over by charisma.
You know, somebody said that love, true love, is not finding someone you can live with, but finding someone you can't live without.
Oh my goodness, I like that.
Come on now.
That's the beautiful truth.
Yes, and so that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking
about.
That
they cherish, they celebrate you, they respect you.
They respect you.
They value
you. And
they're
proud of your accomplishments.
Yes.
That's a key. They're proud of your accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they'll defend you when someone comes against you.
Mm.
It's like, "No, that's not true. That's not the person that I know."
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But is it not true that when you have true love, you have to make an agreement that you're going to have some disagreements, but we can't both go crazy at the same time? You know,
that's
somebody's
right.
got to take a stand
you know,
for the relationship.
Yes, I'm excited about where I am at this point of my life, I'm excited about having an opportunity to learn how to communicate with another person in love.
Yes.
That's the challenge.
Yes. The ability to communicate and manage the conflicts.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Tell me about the power of forgiveness in love. How important is that?
Oh, gosh, you can't have it without it. And I think that if you don't forgive, what happens, it continues to fester until it just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is freedom.
Mm.
Forgiveness is freedom.
Yes. When we look at the relationships that we have gone through in the past that cost us a lot of pain, as you were talking about earlier, one of the things, the wisdom gems you have, Wisdom Gem 13, don't allow the wounds of your past to haunt the relationships in your future.
Yes.
You know, I was in a relationship with someone and I was as nice as I could be, and I thought I was doing the right thing, and she was so mean to me. And I said, why are you doing this to me? She said, well, the last one broke my heart, so somebody's got to pay. And it might as well be you. She just beat me up because I showed up. How do you do that? How, you know, because when things happen to you, they can make you better or they can make you bitter.
Yes.
Yes. How do you allow it to empower you to make you better? How do you do that?
For me, I think it's important to always go through a process of self-examination.
Mm-hmm.
When you truly want to be better, do better, and have better, you're willing to look at yourself in the mirror and come clean with yourself. And for some of us, that's very difficult to do because the pains that we've suffered can be so deep that we don't even want to see that mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so we continue to keep it covered up. We continue to sweep those old hurts under the rug, so to speak, and we never get healed. And so every relationship we get into, it's we're going over and over and over, just like a little hamster on a treadmill, over and over and over through the same things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet that anyone looking back over the course of their relationships, they could see some behaviors that kept repeating themselves.
Yes.
And so whenever that happens, it means that you need to really do some deep self-examination,
you know,
and reflection.
I had a friend named Patricia Wingard who said, Les, until you handle it with grace, it will stay in your face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Yes.
Yes. It'll keep coming back again and again.
It'll keep coming back.
Wisdom Gem number 14. If you don't understand the proper use of a thing, you will abuse it. Talk to us about that.
If you don't understand that the person that you're with is a reflection of you, you'll abuse that. You'll abuse that person because you don't like you.
Mm.
You'll abuse that person because of your poor self-image. You'll abuse that person because there's something in you that says, this person is not worthy of my love because I'm not even worthy of love. Whenever you find abuse,
yes,
there's low self-esteem and anger somewhere in the vicinity.
And the person is acting it out on someone else.
Acting it out on someone else.
Because when you feel good about you, you'll treat people the way you feel about yourself.
But ultimately, the person is acting it out on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't sit up in your face and say, I love you, boo. I love you, boo, and then dog you?
Yes.
No, that's
because it's not congruent.
It's not congruent. And so what does that say about you? If you would do that to a person, what does that say about you? We're so busy pointing the finger. Oh, she did that to me. Oh, he hurt me, or he said this. But somehow that finger has to point back. Mm. And even when it's a situation, for example, I had a good friend who went through a divorce, great man.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, his wife didn't love him. She just was not in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And after the divorce, he was talking with me and he said, you know, I looked back just reflecting and feeling so hurt and wounded because I took that vow so seriously. She broke covenant with me and that almost destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but when I looked back, I had to question the thing that made me feel so hurt was what in my mind made me think that it was okay for someone to abuse me.
You know, I heard a quote once that said, wherever you find yourself, at some point in time, you made an appointment to be there.
So absolutely.
Own this stuff.
Mm-hmm. And wow. So going through that process,
mm-hmm.
he was able to self-examine, mm. to say, I'm not going to be treated less than I want to be treated. I'm not going to accept this from anyone. And he had to come back to himself.
Yes.
Like the prodigal son had to come back to figure
right.
out, you know, hey, I'm a son of the king. I deserve
right.
to be treated better than this.
Right. A friend of mine named Yolanda, she said, don't make someone a priority who's made you an option. I want to go to this chapter 7, and I'm thinking about Dr. Howard Thurman, who was one of the mentors of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And he said that there are two primary questions that one must ask oneself in life. Number one, where am I going? And number two, who's going with me? And he said, if you ever ask those questions in the wrong order, you'll be in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter said, touching the sacred mm-hmm. in search of purpose. Where am I going? Finding your purpose. The mm-hmm. reason why you're here. Talk to us about this chapter.
The reason why we're here. One of the reasons I believe that we're here and we go through the experiences that we go through is because we're here to help each other heal.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier, people are in your life for a reason, a season, and for a lifetime. Well, all of those relationships have lessons that you and I are supposed to learn mm-hmm. from them so that we can be better, authentic people.
Mm.
And so the reason why we're here, number one, is to help each other heal. Number two is to be of service to someone else. And what's so damning about being caught up in a relationship that is not about where you want to go is that it derails your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It sets you off course. And so you have to do some backtracking because you can't proceed past the place where you missed it.
Mm.
You've got to go back and get some things right.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can't move forward.
Mm.
And we stay stuck because it's too painful often to look back, or we're embarrassed or ashamed.
Mm. Betty Wright said, no gain without pain.
Without pain, yes.
She's a life coach. She's a motivational speaker. She's an author. Phyllis Cunningham, the author of Played by a Player, Recognizing Love's Counterfeit. This has been Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy.